Too still out there. Dark coming on and no birds singing goodnight, lady. No squirrels rummaging for last year's acorns under the big oak out front. The sky bruised, yellow and green with streaks of plum. Peculiar smell in the air, too. Sour, vinegary. Downright peculiar. She knew it but couldn't place it. Something to eat, maybe? But what? Now the wind kicked up in wicked little bursts, rain or worse, maybe hail. And there it all was, an entire day's work, flapping on the line like some big white fell from the sky bird. The McNab wash. Sheets, towels, underwear, diapers, what have you. One sheet wrapped around the line, snagged. The judge's upside-down dress shirts white as the driven snow. That much less skin on her knuckles. Her fingertips still burned, slick from the bleach. She stood on her tiptoes and peered out the window over the kitchen sink. Her neck rose in cords above the buttoned collar of her wash dress, which was pocked with pulls and stains and gaping where the button under her breasts had long since popped off and been lost. She wiped her hands down the sides of her dress to dry them and touched her head the way she used to do when she was little and her people got around the table and started telling about how she came into the world with a little cap of hair that looked for all the world like the feathers of a baby bird. She'd had trouble catching her first few breaths, and so was a grayish color when her father first saw her. He called her his dovey, insisted on the name. Her mother had sat straight up in bed, labor sweat still wet on her face. Naming her firstborn after a bird? What you going to name the next one, she'd asked. Pigeon? Crow? But Dovey had always liked her name. When she was a girl, she studied doves, the maternal bulk of their bodies, the way they bobbed their small heads and cooed full-throatedly and stayed low to the ground. How they fussed when she got too near and flushed them. They seemed to her more human than other birds, more willing to stay close, less afraid of a human hand, downright companionable. Sometimes now on winter nights, when she slept deep and still under a pile of quilts, she dreamed she was one. She fluttered on the edge of something brown and warm, and then, cooing, she flapped her arms, and then, oh, glory. She took off into the wide blue yonder, riding the wind. Up Main Street, past Crosstown where the two train tracks made an X like a bullseye in the middle of town, over the churches and steeples, the fancy columned houses up and down Church Street, Peggy's Funeral Home, TKE Drugstore, People's Bank and Trust, Reed's and Black's Department Stores, White Town. Then to the southeast, Milltown, a different set of white folks. Skinny as rails and so paper thin white, they looked like you could poke a finger through them. They lived in rolled-up shotguns that sagged and leaned like a stack of dominoes about to go over. They worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week at the mill, even the children, who were scrawnier than any black child up on the hill or even down in Shake Rag. Looked like they'd never sat down to a meal of fatback and greens and cornbread. Wormy. Then she would turn back north, swoop and flutter up Green Street, rising with the landscape toward home, Elephant Hill, where her own people lived. She wasn't sure why they called it that. Some called it Park Hill, but the hill it was, a humped bluff overlooking muddy gum pond, also called Park Lake. Perched on top, Carver High, Springfield Cemetery, the faded old school bus where the Davises packed in three large children and a pair of twin babies. St. John the Baptist Church, J.W. Porter Undertaker. Houses that snaked in all directions, having been built onto bit by bit as they filled up with babies and old folks to take care of.